Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and this is Tracy Mahan, my co-host. Yay!
Hey!
and boy, do we have a special show for you tonight.
That's
Don't
right.
Don't know what we're going to talk about, but hey, it's special. Because we have two super fantastic special practitioners, wonderful people, friends.
What you guys don't know is that Julia's been practicing that in the mirror. Super fantastic, special, incredible. Like, how many words can I say in a row without tongue tying?
And well, I mean, how often? I mean, well, we always have fantastic guests on our show, but I mean, come on.
Right.
Really? I mean, really.
Well, and you know, last time we tried to pull you two together.
Yes.
Yeah, that didn't work out, but we did get to talk to John. But Suzanne,
we talked to John about Suzanne.
We did a lot. Yeah,
that can't be good.
Yeah, she had to come in and defend herself this time.
Yeah, she had
I was
to
okay though, because it was all just the truth. So it was all fine. All honest truth.
Yeah, you'll have to go back and listen to the show to see what we said about her.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. So, yeah, so fantastic. We have Suzanne Spooner and John McClucky. Yes. And you guys are going to take the show from here, and we're just going to watch. Yeah. So I feel like the Brady Bunch on this one. Do you? I feel like it's like, here's a story, yeah, and you're looking at all the squares. It's so awesome.
Yeah. This is only appropriate because John was, there's a special connection between John and Suzanne, and that's why he wants to do the shows with her and everything. It's like this, you guys have a really special relationship ever since. I think, did you do the voice work in level two? Is that how this, yeah, that's what
no,
happened.
No, it was being in, he was in our class in Australia.
And, yeah, in the level two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and he was, you know, sitting there all scrunched up.
Yeah, that was the level two class. That's why it's like, yeah, it's like, that's what we talked about last time. And then
I gotta hear more of that. He was sitting all scrunched up and what?
Yeah, he was talking to Julia at the end or at a break or something. She goes, that guy over there, I don't think he's buying into any of this. I mean, he's just kind of,
well, he was
like that. Yeah. I took him on as a project of what's going on here? You know, are you first? Are you not? What's going on? And he was just as delightful as can be, you know, and he was just really concentrating, I think. And
then you guys have been fast buds ever since.
We have been. Yeah. it's been a lot of fun just to watch John, you know, become a level three practitioner. I helped him through that. I was his coach for that. And it was hilarious and sweet and wonderful. And he was a pretty good student. He was,
wonder if he would describe it the same way.
Probably not.
It was super cool. It was super fun. Yeah. It was, for me, it was more of an honor. Like every time you speak to Dan Spooner, it's like, God, I'm going to get to speak to Dan Spooner. Even if she's going to bag me, it's all good. I was just super excited.
Oh my gosh. Well,
he was a good student, and he really took to heart the changes that I suggested to him, and that's made him a very good level three practitioner. And he's just hilarious, and he's fun to stay in contact with and bag, as he says every once in a while. And it's good. It's fun. It's how we all are. You know, we're all really good friends, and we're all here for a great common purpose. And it's just fun to make friends this way.
Yeah, totally. My whole attitude going for the level three was I would never ever hand in my best session. I'd always hand in my worst session.
You learn more from that.
Yeah.
And the teacher goes, oh my gosh, what are we doing?
Apart from the teacher, apart from Suzanne, probably drove her bonkers. But I wanted to learn it because I knew that I wasn't up there. I wanted to learn from my mistakes and learn what Suzanne or Julia or Tracy would do in that situation.
Thanks for throwing me in that, John.
Just anybody else.
Anyone.
Else.
Anyone. Yeah. So have you two done any regressions where you've seen past lives where you knew each other in other lifetimes?
Gosh, I don't think I've had a regression for quite a while now. So it was probably pre-John.
Really? Oh. We're all going to be in Iowa next week doing a live session on Susanna.
No.
The quick rejection of that idea was, that's awesome.
Imagine how fun that would be. That would be so much fun.
Wouldn't it though?
Unfortunately, yeah. John's halfway around the world, so that just won't work.
Yeah. I was a little bit, the biggest thing that I was disappointed with all of you girls not going to Bali, was like, I would have definitely had a session and like, definitely just, that would be amazing.
You never know what the future holds, you know? It's still on our plans for some time.
It's all opening up again.
Now there's, there's a few birthdays that have been celebrated. One today. There's one today.
There is one today.
My daughter.
So now this is going to be aired on Friday. So we pre-recorded, so the audience knows. We're not actually in the chat room with you. I'm sorry. But we're pre-recording on Monday the 18th, which is Tiffany's birthday. Yeah.
Tiffany's birthday. Last Friday was my mother's birthday, Dolores Cannon. And are you aware that this Friday, what it is, John?
Oh, apologies.
No, it's fine. And that's when this show will be airing. This Friday is my father's birthday. So they were born just a week apart from each other. And so that's, isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's super sweet.
Falling on him. And so, you know, I always want to give him.
The same, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was the reason it's all here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Huge part of the puzzle.
Yeah. Huge part.
Yeah. Very cool.
And it's also Earth Day, I think. Isn't it April 22nd, that Earth Day?
That's right around there.
I don't know. Do we think we're going to get any more snow for that?
We had snow yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. The snow has been cracking me up. I decided that winter and spring didn't know how to break up, so they're just coexisting.
Yeah. And then if you happen to live in Australia,
there's no snow where I come from.
There might be this year.
Yeah.
There's some real issues going on with the earth. Real issues. Totally.
Yeah. Maybe it's a purification for the new earth, all the snow. New ice age. I don't know.
What I'm hearing, you know what I'm hearing?
See, that worked out.
It's to get everybody really conditioned to anything is possible. I mean, be open to that anything can happen. So it's like, be prepared for the unexpected.
Very nice. That's a good answer.
It's happened before, so it'll probably happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna put myself out there since we're talking snow. I watch. Do you guys ever watch the Disney movies? Like, I watched the Frozen movie, and it was so cute.
I have yet to see that.
See, John's on board with me. So
he has little kids. Well, Suzanne exactly now too. So it's like you might be seeing it. You might have seen.
I don't think you need little kids to watch Frozen and Frozen 2, but Frozen 2. They talk about how water has memory, and there's all kinds of little hidden pearls in that. Wonderful. And I watched it in the theater, I think with one of my kids or something, and they put it on the Disney Channel. I was like, I'm going to watch that again. So I did that yesterday, and I couldn't quit crying. It was the weirdest thing. It wasn't like I'm like crying. Tears would just run down my face.
Because it was so beautiful. That's what I noticed. I was watching something.
Well, I don't even know what it was. It's like I'm just sitting there watching it, and it would be just the simplest little things that they're saying or whatever. But the whole movie, the whole time, I had tears running down my face. So I'm like, whatever is in there, I felt that strong pull to, and it's the second one because they talk about how water has memory. And I've had a whole lot of things going on with water and the healing waters coming back and all that stuff. And so when I'm watching it, I'm just sitting there in my bed cuddling with the little doggies after a big, big Easter dinner thing. And I'm just like, what is going on? And that's not like I'm crying. It's just tears running down my face. Mm-hmm. And
this happens in sessions sometimes. I mean, when they're in the session, they're not sobbing or anything, but there's a steady stream of tears coming down. And it's, yeah. You know, when I've asked the subconscious about, you know, what's happening there, they'll say it's just they're releasing, you know, things
that makes sense.
Really, really deep. Just a steady release. They'll feel lighter. Did you feel lighter afterwards, Tracy?
No, because I ate a bunch of ham. No, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. They talk about the four elements and they're doing the earth, air, fire, water, and all the elements have life in this little movie, right? But what they're missing is the fifth element. And would it be a spoiler alert if I tell you what the fifth element is?
Yeah, go
should I do
ahead.
It, John? Should I tell him?
Oh.
It's you.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
You're the fifth element. I'm just like, I know it. Anyways, I just had to share because we were talking about snow and it's all about her creating ice and snow and being able to freeze the water and, you know, it's frozen. So it was appropriate. But anyways, if you haven't seen Frozen 2 and I haven't totally ruined it for you, go watch Frozen 2 and see how you react to it. There's so many little things in there that they say that are so spiritual. And it's like, oh, I love this. Okay. Anyway, I'm done. Do we just like throw a dart at the wall to see who talks next?
Well, what do you want to talk about today, Tracy?
Well, we talked about dimensions the other day. That was fun. I guess we could talk about what kind of interesting things are happening in you guys's sessions, because
I was just thinking, themes, are there, you know, what
themes? Because I always end up with themes. Do you guys do that?
So I've been noticing a theme, and actually I'm going to be getting onto the practitioners forum and asking other people if they're seeing the same thing. It's really interesting when the client gets into the SC part and we're going through the body scan or asking their body questions. You know, we're always asking, you know, where did this originate from? What have they learned from it? Why they create it? How is it being healed today? What will they notice differently after the session? And most importantly, what do they need to do to maintain the healing afterwards? Because they're firmly in control if they maintain this healing that they're given in the session.
Right.
That's up to them. And the theme that I'm seeing lately is when we get to that question about what do they need to do to maintain it, the SC is putting more back on them to do the work.
Good.
Recently, for example, I had a gal who they were putting, I think working with her hips, and we found out all the 411 behind the issue with the hips, and it said it was working on it. It was energetically getting things back into alignment for her. And that she also needed to go out in nature. She needed to take walks. She needed to move more. She hadn't been moving a lot. Mm-hmm. But it just called her out. And it says, if she doesn't do her part, we can't help her. She has to do this. And so, you know, not like before where it was just always a magic wand and everything got fixed and they weren't responsible for changing their thoughts or perceptions afterwards to maintain it. But it's like, it's almost being like drilled in, like you have to do your part.
Well, I like that that's happened because it actually, that was necessary before, but it wasn't maybe put in those terms. But we could see it. It's like when they, why did it stop? Well, because you didn't do your part. It said you have to do this. But it wasn't that clear, I guess. Maybe it wasn't like, hey, you know, things like, well, it'll come back if you do this, if you go back on the same trail that you were on or the same, you know, thinking pattern, things like that. So it's like we kind of had to put it together for them. But I love that if they're just standing down.
You know, and
I like to dig on it as well. Like, sometimes it's fun to dig on it because the SC might tell them what to do, and then you can say, well, is she a adult? No. That's a different question. That's a different question. Why not? Why isn't she? And it leads you off into a different trail, which is
Yeah, I think it's important for them to know just how important their part is. I mean, people, they've got to understand that they are responsible.
Well, you know, and I think that's, you know, even for our clients who, you know, for the most part, kind of get what this is all about coming in, it's hard for most to wrap their head around the idea that it's their thoughts, their beliefs, their experiences that have created the issues that they're experiencing within their bodies. I mean, that's never anything that the outside world has ever clued us in on, right? It's just, you know, I'm a victim and, oh, it's genetic and, you know, it just happened to me.
Well, this is what keeps coming through to me, and I'm sorry to interrupt there, but like these drug commercials, when they come on, and now it's like one day it dawned on me what they're trying to sell. It's not, yes, it's their drugs, but more importantly, it's that you are broken. You need us to fix you because you don't, the body can't do it. You are broken. You are messed up.
Yeah.
And we have to put you back together.
There was a commercial there that I called out to my husband. We were watching TV and I'm like, did you see what they just did? They just gave you a website to go check to see if you have symptoms and how bad they are. I mean,
like create them. Go create them.
Yeah. You're feeling fine.
That, and that's the mentality. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's like, you will be, there's no way that you can get through this life and not be broken and not be messed up. You will have to have us to do our thing. And it's just, anyway, carry on. I'm sorry.
Well, those symptom lists can go on forever. And it's like, yeah, I mean, eventually you're going to hit something that would, you might perceive as a symptom so that you need a drug, but then you're going to need a drug to counteract the side effects of the drug you're taking. So you need at least three or four.
Well, you know, and that's what I think, you know, QHHT is instrumental in understanding is, you know, from Dolores, that the symptoms are just messages.
Yeah.
Symptoms are just, and Julia, of course, with her work, you know, and if we can understand the messages, then we know what needs to be changed in order to let go of the symptoms. And then the symptoms just drop off. It's not magic. You know, they delivered their message. They did their job. We went, oh, okay, that's what I need to do differently. I do it differently. And then I'm better. You know, it's not hard, but you have to completely change the way you've been programmed to think about it.
Exactly. And that's what sometimes I'll say. It's like, it's miraculous. You know, oh, I'm healed because I'm trying to make it light. Like it, that's exactly what happens. The symptoms just drop off. They are not necessary anymore. And it's like, and the, yeah, if they want to call it miraculous, okay. It's just, you got your message. You understood it. You acted on it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what I think is beautiful too, is, you know, I'll explain to the clients that, you know, no judgment, but after you get out of here, you're going to feel great because you've addressed everything. But if your thoughts, beliefs, and experience go back to the old way, you're going to notice those symptoms coming back. And if you notice the symptoms coming back, don't be hard on yourself. Listen to your recording and remind yourself how you used to be that got you that way and how you're going to be moving forward to be this new, better version of you. It's just a reminder. The symptoms are just like little flags coming up if you look at it post-session then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, John, your microphone keeps cutting out for me.
Oh, does it? You can even go and talk to the system straight away as soon as people feel them.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're open to that, if you understand it, absolutely, you can do that. If you're not, but that's where a session is really good about, session or soul speak, either one. I mean, helping you to understand what that's all about. The session, you're right in there in the middle of it going, oh, now I get it. Okay, I see. And you've made that connection. So whatever way does that. But until then, like Suzanne was saying, the outside world does not teach that. So it's a foreign concept. It takes a while to...
You want to know the other outside world teaching that's getting turned around with these sessions, which I just love, 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 is, oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to get too excited to talk about it. How we're trained to analyze every problem that comes up, you know, never say, you know, blurt out the first thing that comes to mind, you know, think on it, pro and con it, you know, ask some people for their advice. You probably aren't right with what you're coming up with, and you're probably just going to throw it away anyways because you're so far off. And that keeps us in this loop of confusion. And then we tend to rely more on authority, however that's going to look for that solution. And we never are happy. And that's how we've been trained for a long, long time. Because if we knew that if a problem or something comes up in our life and we just quieted ourselves down, asked, what do I need to do about this? And trust that first thought that comes into mind, which is always our right side, high self, subconscious, whatever name you want to put to that. It's always the right answer. And if we ran our lives that way, we'd be in so much of a better place. We wouldn't be letting fear override any decision that we make. We would trust that inner guidance. That just gave me chills. Like, that's a good one. You really got to hammer that one in. But that's it. And that's why society purposefully has not taught us this, because then we're not controllable if we know that we have all the answers and all the healing within us. And this is where we're at now. This is what we're waking up to. It's part of the Great Awakening. And, you know, we're so lucky because we get to be in this front row seat viewing it, you know, with clients and hearing their stories and oh my gosh. But, you know, it's, you know, those sneaky devils, you know, it's like, I think all of us came from a generation, which hopefully, you know, John's kids aren't going to be that way, but coming from where you're really little and you've got this great connection to your imagination and your creativity, which is the two greatest gifts I think every human being comes in with. It's our direct connect to source, to that part of us that knows everything. Mm-hmm. And so what, you know, us, you know, if we had invisible friends or, you know, we did something, the concept to make up was so downplayed and so ridiculed and it wiped out our creativity and that connection. And what I see is so beautiful in these sessions is it's teaching people to trust that right side, to know that creativity and where you make it up from is a direct connect to the right side. It's not that wonky analytical left side that's wrapped up in fear. And we have all the power within us. And oh my goodness, you know, I tell people, you know, they're here for a session, and they are, but it's like, it's a great gathering day of information. And then they've got this recording, and the more that they listen to that, the more they trust that right side. And I don't know how many conversations we probably all have had with the subconscious about how nice it is for them to be able to share the information that that part of them, the subconscious high self, has, and that they don't get to talk very often, or they don't get listened to, you know, because we do have that wonky free will experience here to master also. We're just kind of like a big giant hot mess that gets to figure it all out. But
that we chose and created so we can work through it. Yeah. These wonderful experiences.
Yeah, sorry, that I went on a tangent there, but
those are
the two great things that I'm seeing people be aware of now.
Yeah, there's so much shift, and you know, so many people that have had time in the last 2 years, we'll say it that way, to really explore. And I heard another story today of how videos would get plopped. It's like, oh yeah, I was home and there was nothing else to do, and I was scrolling, and all these videos of these, you know, Reiki masters or whatever, you know, whatever course she ended up taking were falling in her lap. And I just think that we live in such an incredible world where there's so much more going on than what we realize is going on. And we have all this help outside of us that's trying to throw little clues in our pathways, and we get that opportunity to grab them or not grab them. And, you know, there's there's really wonderful stories of people following that and that breadcrumb trail and their awakening process. But I also heard one last week that made me sad, where this client had a conversation with a previous spouse where they weren't getting along, or they just weren't, you know, life was kind of not flowing very well. And she was trying to tell him that she wasn't happy. And his response was, nobody's happy. We're all depressed. Just get over it and move on. You know, and it's like, no, that's not true. But luckily she didn't listen to that. And she did, you know, she got out of that situation and made a better situation. But it's, you know, if these shows do anything, I hope it shows people there are other ways and there is healing around these things we're feeling. And there are ways to find the joy and the happiness, and that we can, I mean, not every day has going to have a cherry on top, but we can find the joy in every day. So, I mean, look, I'm here with you guys. How fun is that? So, yeah.
There's only one common thing that when people live in that, because I find that people in that state, it comes from gratitude and joy. But like all of us live in that state. All of us have gone through the work that we need to go through, which is painful. But if you're willing to go through that and to realize and to learn everything and to dump all the emotions and the energies that are attached to it, if you're willing to go through that process, because the other side is amazing.
That's interesting, John. I just heard a comment today on a video I was watching, and they said, you know, you don't learn the piano by reading a book. None of this is learned by reading a book. You can read all these books out there. You don't learn anything until you're actually doing it, moving through it, and living it. When you are really living, because we're already living our beliefs. So if you really want to see this other part, you have to start shifting your thoughts and your beliefs. And that will give you a different life to live.
I like that. That should be a Julia quote. We're already living our beliefs. Julia Cannon.
That just came in. That would be on. It wasn't the other person's quote.
I've heard that analogy before about a brain surgeon. You know, you don't want a brain surgeon who's only read about in a book how to do brain surgery.
Yeah, you want ones that's got lots of, you didn't want to be the first one. Or maybe he did, because he was going to be really extra attentive. Yeah, maybe.
So. That was a nice name.
You are the sum total of your beliefs.
Yes.
Like I could look out that window and see the most beautiful day and the beautiful trees and everything, but somebody else could look out the same window and see the same picture and look at all the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, like, I'm going to feel better inside than that other person. Because that's my belief system.
Absolutely. And I was thinking about that. You know, I'm reading more Facebook posts lately because it comes in on my phone now. So I see more of them. And it was interesting how people view things, their perceptions, you know, because it'd be this beautiful quote or beautiful post, and then everybody's commenting below it. And there will be one or two, and among all these beautiful, oh my gosh, this is so gorgeous, and some that come in just with this weird stuff, it's like, where are you coming from? I don't know. But it's just their perspective, their view on the world, it's like, well, hopefully by them being in that group and absorbing some of those other comments, maybe.
You know, I try not to be snarky often, but you know me, Julia.
I do.
It happens. And, you know, through this great last 2 years, you know, there's a few things where I'm just like, you know, why don't they get this? You know, wake up. And, you know, and I'll put a little something out on Facebook, and, you know, you kind of like sit back and be like dropping bombs and see how far you can get with them. And, you know,
every time you want to make room on your Facebook, you make a post like that to make some room for new people to come in.
probably. But you know, there'd be that one Debbie Downer that, you know, comes in and just, you know, throws something else on. And, you know, for the most part, I'm okay with that. But then I'm like, hey, this is my page. Just, you're in my living room. Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, it's been a lesson to me to, like, it's okay to, like, delete it. You know, it's not going to change your life one bit, you know. Yeah. I want the energy to be about this, you know. So, bye-bye. Nice seeing you.
And see, I like the analogy, Meg. You're in my living room. You're in my house. This is, you know, hey, be respectful.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other answer to that. Like, I don't get, like, why would you waste your energy to kick up dirt, you know, on somebody's opinion of something? I mean, I guess it's just where we're at. You know, I wouldn't expend the energy for that. I'd rather, you know, go eat an ice cream cone or something, you know, just whatever. Things is an okay thing to do too.
I had to do that the other day. So somebody, friends of mine, their son-in-law posted something and I thought, he better not be talking about them. They're like the best grandparents ever. Well, what is this post about? And I'm all ready to get on there and have words. And I realized that one of my friends already had and said, I hope you don't mean us. And, oh, no, this wasn't about you. It's like, why even post that? That, I mean, it was very snarky, like, it was on Easter and it was just about, you know, family stuff. And it made family look like they didn't care about this couple. And they really do. And it's like, you guys are so loved and you've got all these extended people that love you too. And why would you even post that? And then it was like one person that they wanted that message to get to. And, you know, all these other people are getting hurt by it. And it's like, was it worth it? Why don't you just approach the one that you actually wanted to see that? Because they're probably the one that didn't read it or didn't get that it was for them. So, social networking is so fun. But yeah, there's a lot of things on there. It's like, just keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way to learn to be unattached, right?
Yeah. That's what I've learned too is throughout all this. It's just, it's really healthy to take an observer role, even with things that are really close to you. Yeah. And, you know, because of what we do, you know, I tend to, you know, I tend to think, okay, what am I supposed to be learning from this? Why did I create this? You know, what's the other person hopefully learning from this? And don't take it so darn personally. And, you know, then you have objective eyes to look at it instead of, you know, getting into that kind of yucky part.
Yeah. I've always used this analogy. I always say, imagine that you're going to a sports stadium, but where the actual players, the stadium is Earth itself, like the ground is Earth itself, and we're the players. So we've come down here, we're the ones that are playing this game. People get so locked up into playing this human game on Earth that they don't actually realize they're playing again. They're just taking the beats, they're getting bashed. They don't actually realize that there's coaches in the box and supporters in the box up there yelling and screaming at them going, if you just go right, I can see things from a bigger perspective. You don't have to keep beating your head up. You can go around there and sneak around the gap.
That's okay.
But people don't listen because they're too busy playing this game. But then I always say to people, once you realize that you're actually a player playing this game, you can also zip out and be up in the coach's box as well. And then you can watch things from a much higher perspective. And then when you do that, you can go back and you can choose to play that game again.
Yeah.
So you can see things from both perspectives. Once you do that, once you can get out of the game and watch it as an observer, it's a much more enjoyable game. But you can also have the enjoy being in, have the fun because you're grounded here playing the game. These ones aren't here, don't have that experience because they're not actually playing the
game. Well, it kind of takes you out of that knee-jerk reaction. You can come out of it faster. You may still do it, but you can come out of it faster. It's like, wait a minute. Well, there's something. Yeah, I love that. But that's just it. That's a new thought. I mean, that not many have, in addition to the, hey, our thoughts create our illnesses and our situations, is that it's a game. I mean, as soon as you start really, it's a game, it changes everything. Mm. It's like you said, the whole thing changes. And yeah, you can pull yourself out and you can look at it objectively and you can do these things. It's like, yeah. So yeah, when they get so caught up in it, they just, you know, they don't realize.
They don't even realize. Oh. Yeah. They cut all connection from the coaches and the supporters, and they just live in this, they just have this box.
Well, let's,
but you
let's
can always, and always say, because we're the ones playing this game, and you could hear something from the coach's box, it doesn't mean that you have to do it. That means that you can start negotiating. Because you're the one who's actually playing the game.
How about you guys? You like to negotiate?
Negotiate. Oh my goodness.
Negotiate.
Well, I was going to say, I use this analogy too, not quite the way John does, but same idea. And it's like, so if you're playing a game, you know, you why not play it the best way you can? And if we're playing a game, you know, games, they're harder the more you level up. And this is a pretty hard game. So that's showing you where we're all at. We're leveling up. Mm-hmm. So why not just play that game the best version you know how and do the best job you can with that game? And, you know, you're going to end up having a good time. But I like the negotiating.
There's the key. The more you make your game simple, the happier you'll be.
Yeah,
true.
I'm complicated.
Now, all of that sounds like a client before a session and a client after a session. The tunnel vision of, oh my gosh, you know, my life's been so hard, to, whoa, I totally get it. Like, I asked for this and here's why, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clarity.
Dan, do you remember in some of the level two classes we did that as an analogy? I mean, what he's saying there is, and we didn't do it in your class, John. I don't think we did. Where we reenacted, we did exactly that. It's like we're pretending, and Suzanne was the person that had to be the game players. Like, and we would have the class be like they're the coaches or whatever. It's like you, there's that person on that field, and you've got to give a message to them. You got to tell them to do a different way. Get a message. They can't hear you. They don't know that they can hear you, but they can't, you know. And then it was like they had to be very creative in ways to get messages to her. And that was
a frustrating exercise to be a part of, Julia.
It was hysterical from my side.
Yeah, I bet.
I think you guys said that in the podcast, and I remember enjoying it.
Oh, do you? Yeah, we did it for a while, and then we shifted to something else. So, that was the idea. It was, how do I do this?
Everyone has intuition and gut feelings, mm-hmm. or they hear a wall.
Yes.
Usually people don't listen to it because it's got, because they see things from a much longer perspective. So it's a long term. Whereas the human part of us reject that feeling, it could have some short term pain. So they don't want to do it. And I always say, going back to what Suzanne always says, trust the very first thing that comes to mind. So if you want to ask the universe a question, ask a question, trust the very first thing that comes to mind. And if it's followed by, but, like, I always say, we've only got one but, and we sit on it, and we sit on it for a reason. Don't be a butt face. Don't have another butt up there. Just do it.
Oh my gosh.
Unique perspective, John.
It is.
Yeah, but.
But that would be the yeah, but is your own consciousness coming in too.
Yeah.
That's because it's scared.
Mm-hmm.
It knows what to do, but it doesn't want to do it because it's scared. Quite scared. Mm-hmm. So then I always say, go and talk to that scared part of it and see what it's actually scared of. Mm-hmm.
It's never as bad as what we make it out to be.
Right.
No.
Yeah. And especially if you'll start making some moves, then it starts opening up even more. You get more information. And so it always, you know, becomes even easier as you keep doing that. It's just as long as you stay over here with all the buts, But, you know, and then it's, you know, you keep creating this huge situation that probably will never occur.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then people in the long term will still be in the same situation that they were 10, yeah, 15, 20, 30 years ago.
And how many, you see that a lot, you know, people that you, well, let's say if you go to reunions, I'm trying to think where you might be that you see somebody later and you hadn't seen them in between, and they're still saying and singing the same song and dance that they were.
Same story.
Absolutely. You know, and they haven't, yeah, changed their life one iota because of their fears or whatever, their expectations of themselves. This is what I am. This is what I do. You know, and they still have the same beliefs, the same thoughts, everything, and they still live in the same life.
They start owning it. Well, I am who I am. That's, yeah, because they're so scared of changing.
Yeah.
They're so scared of letting it go.
Yeah.
You know what else I think is really beautiful about that is how everybody comes to that awareness when they're ready for it. You know, you can't make them do it.
You can't push them into it.
I like how you hesitate on it. You can't make them do it.
You would like to.
A little bit of the teeth clutching there, but can't make them.
Yeah. You know, because it, you know, it's like, you know, you can drop seeds all you want, but until, mm-hmm, they're ready,
yeah,
to explore it, they're not ready, you know.
Yeah. But it won't.
It's not fixed with that.
They won't see it, they won't hear it, they won't get it.
Yeah.
That's,
and you know, and I think, you know, one, nice, of the coolest things that if you're observing all these changes that we're in the midst of in the world right now, it's so transparent now. You really know where people are at. Mm-hmm. It's not a question mark anymore, which is okay. It's just, it's really clear where people are at. And I think that's fascinating. You know, 10 years ago, you couldn't see that, mm-hmm, for what it was.
No, so much has changed in just even 5 years.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
But, you know, yeah. I was saying to somebody, I was having lunch with a friend, and we were talking about when I started doing sessions, which was 10 years ago. This is my 10th year anniversary.
Yay.
And, you know, back then, you know, it was 2012, you know, and there's so much talk about what's going on in 2012 and the Mayan calendar and the world may end, you know, and all this stuff. And in the, yeah, sessions, you know, the SCs are saying, oh, there's like big changes coming, big changes, you know, and we're creating the changes as we go. So they would never, you know, they couldn't say, you know, on this date, this is going to happen, then that's going to happen, that is, because we're, right, creating it. And that's mm-hmm, a kind of a hard bite for some people to swallow, but it's the truth. But, the, you know, I remember thinking back then, like, oh no, we're going to have earthquakes and we're going to have a tsunami and we're going to have a volcano. You know, I never thought, oh, we're going to have a global pandemic, you know.
Didn't see that one.
It's like, yes, wow, we really upped our own game on.
No, it's like, oh, we need to mind, get the whole world's attention now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But you know, I think one of the beautiful things about being a practitioner is we get these kind of updates, you know, in the sessions oftentimes about how things are going. And, you know, I'd love to know what you two are getting in your sessions about, you know, everything I'm hearing is we're right on track. I mean, it can look as chaotic as it looks, but humanity is right on track with all these changes. And
yeah. You know, and in fact, okay, I want to add to that I was told, if you look at the kids that are coming in now, that's more evidence that we're right on track and that we had to raise the vibration of the planet in order for them to come in and be, yeah, sustained, yeah, here, because they're so sensitive. So that is showing us where we're at, because they're coming and we're holding and sustaining the energy for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting a lot of clients with, like, you know, I don't know, 3 to 10-year-olds, and they're like, yeah, I don't know where this kid
off the
is
charts
from. Like, they just know what they know, and
little prodigies and all kinds of things. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. You know, I think it's very exciting. And they must think, you know, they must look at us like, wow, get it together. You know,
we're like, oh my God, tell me more about your kid.
It's exciting too, because the parents aren't stifling it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Usually there's one parent that encourages, and supports it. Just,
mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
All the new souls. It's really interesting. All the new souls coming in now, and society doesn't like this because they don't want to be known as a male or a female. They just want to be men. But society, or that goes against society's their beliefs.
It's shaking them up a bit. They'll get used to it.
Totally, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Me personally, I think that's beautiful. That's awesome. They don't want to be identified as a male or a female. To me, they want to be identified just as
a person or a being, I guess. Yeah.
I get quite a few of those in my office too. It's just the challenge of remembering, because I'm programmed to say he, she, and use to use their terminology. But I absolutely get excited when they come in my office because I know I'm about to have an extraordinary experience, because obviously they've come from places where the gender is not important and they're trying to teach us mm-hmm. how to be in that neutrality of it. So love is love. So, yeah.
Well, can I ask, with everything that's gone on in the last couple of years on Earth, what do you feel like your mum would be saying about it?
Oh, good question, John.
Well, this is some of the things I had to kind of reach back to going through everything, because I remember, you know, through the in 2000, you know, when that was happening, Y2K, and everybody, though, there is another end of the world thing, you know, people were, you know, what did Nostradamus say? And oh my gosh, he predicted the end of the world. This must be it. And her thing, she's like, no, that's not what he said. He didn't, there's nothing written about this. This is all fine. We're going through things. We're all fine. It was always that. And that's what she would have been saying with this. It's all fine.
Fine.
You know, it's like, don't make it something. I mean, so much of it was all of the hoopla around it. And she was always level-headed about everything. We're all fine. You know, how are you doing right now? How are you? It's like, don't even pay attention to any of that stuff out there, which is what we're all saying, you know, what we're saying. And that's how you do best. If you can turn off that chatter then and just listen, you know, what do I actually know? What am I actually feeling? Because if I watched the news, if I watched everything and all the, even Facebook, I mean, all those things, they're telling me what to feel and what to believe, you know, then I'd be a mess. But if I would just, where I live, I have nothing. I mean, I have literally a bubble around me, and there's so many things happening in the world that I'm not aware of because I don't turn it on. And it's like, sometimes I feel kind of weird that maybe I'm being very Pollyanna ostrich, go whatever, you know, that I've got my head in the sand, but it's like, you know what? I check in with myself and I'm okay. I kind of like this world that I have. I like my life and I'm okay. I don't have to know about these things. They're not in my world. Well,
think about the times when we didn't have the technology and nobody knew what was going on all over the world.
You know,
we weren't worrying about the people, you know, 6,000 miles away from us and all of that. And they weren't worrying about us. We all took care of ourselves.
Right. And that's where the other day I said something. It was like, I felt bad about it because it was like, I don't know something that's happening on the world, the global level. And it was like, but it comes down to that.
Yeah.
Do we have to know? You know, it's like,
I don't have to know, but also to be able to find that place of what do you do with that information when you do have it?
Yeah.
So that it's not. So that it's not wheeling around and making you feel guilty that you're not, I mean, you can't do anything about it, but I feel bad that I, you know, I also can't do anything about it. So where do we find our neutrality in that? Right. So yeah. What do you do with that?
You know, I think different people have different needs for their own soul growth. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are the activists. I'm not, you know, I can't, that wipes my energy out to try to in that role. I can't do it. But some people are really good at it. Some people are, you know, I've got a daughter-in-law that's has worked in the emergency room as a nurse, and she loves it. Wow. She that I would go in there. I would be the last
that would 2 minutes
around.
Yeah, I can't. So, I never could do ER. It's too fast paced. It's too, you don't know what's coming in that door. It's too stressful. But
you want the people that are good in that.
Yes. You want people that feed off of that.
Right. So I think there's some of us that have to dive into the political stuff because that's something that they need to understand in their own soul's journey. And there's some people that have to be on this side and there's some people that have to be on that side. And I think that's where it becomes really powerful, empowering to not put judgment on any of that. You don't have
that to actually reminds me of a session that I had, Suzanne, where they said that exact thing, but the ones that don't feel like they need to be on the front lines, the protesters and the ones fighting the fight, they're over here holding the light so these guys can do the fight. And so both are very needed. And that was something that was said in a session. And until you said that, I was like, oh yeah, that is, you know, we all came in for our reasons, but to hold the light so the other ones can be in those fights and battles and hold them and sustain their energy was an important job as well. So I'm like you, man, I can't be on that protest line. Argument or
what lights you up, you know, what, you know, that's what you use to navigate through all of this change that's coming up. You know, you find what makes you happy to be serving in whatever ways it is. And, you know, then, you know, you're on the right path, you know, you're doing what you love and that's going to look 180 different ways to 180 different people.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah,
I've always said it like this: if everybody does their one little piece of the puzzle's easy. People want to do the whole puzzle, and then they feel overwhelmed and they fired because they're trying to do everybody else's. Okay. So everybody do their one little piece, and it's going to be super.
That's all it's asked of you.
Find your little piece.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Stop trying to do the whole puzzle. Stop trying to do everybody else's pieces. Your piece. There's that. I mean, that's a very polite way of saying that other thing.
That other thing.
Yeah.
There's so many people that want to save that. You know, there's so many people that want to save all the children in the world. They want to save the whole world. It's like, oh man, good luck. That's impossible. But what can you do?
Yeah.
Make you feel really satisfied because you're doing your one little piece and be happy with that.
Yeah, because that then. That will ripple out onto the rest of all of the pieces. It will go out there and it will have an effect.
It does.
Without having to save it, do it all personally. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, hold please.
Okay.
So okay. So I made this post and this is one of my nice posts. I didn't offend anybody.
All nice posts.
But it says, you've done better than you know, you've helped more than you realize, and you're closer than you think.
Yeah, I love that post.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Mm-hmm. We all need to stay in that mindset.
Yeah.
Who said that, Suze? Where did that come from?
That came from somebody's high self. I don't know. There's no name.
I like that.
Part of the collective.
That's right. It's good stuff.
I love it. Is that a good place to stop? I love it. Can you say that again and we can actually, before you say it again, because I think we're really close to the, I want everybody to know how to reach you if they want to contact both of you. So, and Tracy, I mean, we put out there.
I know, just you guys.
I know. So yeah, just you. This is so different. I'm used to, we have all our interaction or anything. So
I know.
Tell everybody how they can find you if they want to. Communicate with you, have sessions, whatever. So Suzanne?
Oh, okay. Well, so if this doesn't air until Friday, I'm going to have a new website, I think, by Friday.
Oh, fancy. So,
it's very excited. It's like, I feel like I've grown up. I have a very nice website. So it'll just be SuzanneSpooner.com. And that will get you to QHHT if that's what you're seeking. It gets you to my talk and it gets you to my Universal Mind Project meditation. So everything's going to be underneath SuzanneSpooner.com.
Beautiful.
Perfect. And John?
I've just upgraded my website as well. So interesting. Yeah. I'm very happy with it. But if you go to just the QHHTofficial.com, and then just punch in John Buggy, or just find me on the first page somewhere, or the second page. Find a practitioner. It'll link you to our website, and then just go from there. We'll just Google then, John McCluckey QHHT YouTube, and it'll have all the links on.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Okay.
Tracy, so, how can people find you?
I'm getting inspired to upgrade my website. TracyMahan.com. Just like Suzanne, you'll find all my links there, all the different services I do. QHHT, we should say where we're at so that people know. Mm-hmm. I'm from Oregon, so and QHHT is in person. So if you would like to come see me, I'm in Oregon. Suzanne, where are you at?
Des Moines, Iowa.
John?
I'm on the Gold Coast in Australia, right next to the beach. Paradise.
Yeah. We just right lost our clients.
Yeah, using that to persuade everybody.
Right on the beach. You can feel the wind.
Gold Coast is paradise.
You're not helping, Julia. We just lost everyone. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. So cool. We our friends, they live about maybe a mile and a half away, right on the forest hill. It's right on the beach, actually, but there's a little bushland there. And for the last 5 years, they've had two koalas in their tree. So they've got pet wild koalas in their tree. Aww. How cool.
Nice.
All over now.
Gosh, you know what I had in my yard today? I was in a meeting with my web designer, and I'm looking out my window. I had 8 turkeys walking through my front yard. Yeah, which we live in the country. It's not that big of a deal, but I've never seen him at that house. And I was watching him we live by a highway. So I'm watching him walk up to the highway and I'm like, oh no, I'm going to have turkey guts all over my yard. And but they're chickens. So they run back. So
yeah. Okay. I'd rather live in the country, but I had baby raccoons, but that's done now. We brought the cat food in. They quit coming. But we're feeding our cats outside, and then we're like, man, we're going through a lot of food. Yeah. And then we found them. Mama and her 3 babies were showing up and helping us out with the cat food. But it is kind of fun to get the little critters when they're not hurting anything. But yeah. Yeah. Okay, Julia, yeah. Where can they find all 3 of us and you, and how to become a practitioner, and all the other things that are
everything
going on?
Everything you could ever want to know about QHHT, right?
Everything.
QHHTofficial.com. You can find everything about how, you know, the different courses that we have and how to do that, all the information about it. And then we have Find a Practitioner page. These 3 lovely, wonderful, exciting, stupendous, what other words can I put in there? Amazing. Level 3 practitioners on the Level 3 practitioner page. So that narrows down.
The best, though.
What was that?
I said, Sam's the best, though.
No, because she's.
You don't have to brown nose me anymore, John.
Yeah, what was it? Yes. She's a rock star. Yeah. What'd you call her? A rock star?
She's a rock star. Totally.
Yeah.
Total rock star.
Anyway, so everything you need to know there on Back to HHT, and you can see how beautiful the messages are for people and how much it helps people.
And you guys recently had a revamp of the website. I'm kind of the only one that is still old school.
Yeah, you need to step it up.
Yeah, I don't know if I should fall to peer pressure. Why fix what's not broken, you know? But okay, what about SoulSpeak? Let's give that a minute.
We can also, if you to understand the messages that your body is delivering, so that, like we're saying, these symptoms and everything are messages. So to better understand that, go to juliacannon.com. You can get the online course. I also have a book out. The online course expands on it. And so everything you need there for that information.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. And thank you, everybody. Dan, can you read that post again? Because I think that'd be a wonderful way to sign off.
You've done better than you know. You've helped more than you realize. And you're closer than you think.
Yay.
Love it. Thank you guys so much.
Bye, everybody.
This has been wonderful. Thank you. Love you all.
Oh, yeah, the big kisses.
Yeah.